You are Locked On Wolverines, your daily podcast on the Michigan Wolverines, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Happy Wednesday. We are finally doing it. Hopefully without the snafus. Hopefully this comes out in a relative decent time instead of midnight like the Tuesday show did. But my apologies for that. Anyway, we are back. Locked On Wolverines, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it is your team every day. I'm your man on the ground, Isaiah Hole, publisher of Wolverines Wire. And today we bring in our special guest, as we do every week. We have someone from Pro Football Focus, and this time we had to have Anthony Treshawn because weeks ago, when no one thought that, you know, Michigan's coming off of, was it Washington or something like that? And then you're like, yeah, Michigan's going to beat Wisconsin this year, I have no doubt. And I think most Michigan fans, you know how they are. They don't want to hear that type of thing. But you were right. You were so right. So we have to talk about it. So thanks for joining, Anthony.
Of course. Thank you for having me back on. And yeah, I mean, that defense, they've pretty much verified, you know, what we were thinking, that this is a far better defensive unit than, you know, everybody expected, both, you know, from a system perspective and also the talent. I mean, I've been very impressed with the growth they've made. And, you know, that was just a good old-fashioned beatdown from the defense of Michigan against Wisconsin's offense.
Well, I think that leads to my first question, because these are the same guys Wisconsin's had for a while, right? They're always plugging and playing when it comes to their offensive line in particular. But these are guys who have played for a few years before we can, I feel like, accurately assess what Michigan's defense was able to do. Despite what Graham Mertz is, he's your worst rated quarterback according to your grades in the entire conference. But how good or bad is this Wisconsin offensive line that they just beat up and bullied? Because we're used to Wisconsin's offensive line kind of having its way with pretty much any defensive front that it faces.
Yeah, I mean, this is probably one of the biggest surprises in the Big Ten. Just because you looked at Wisconsin's offensive line on paper and some of the returning veterans that they had there, it looked like it was going to be another stout group, another good Wisconsin offensive line. But, you know, specifically over on the left side, left tackle Tyler Beach moved over from right tackle last year, where he played pretty well. He had a 77.1 PFF grade there, 70.5 in pass protection. And then this year, moved over to the left side, he looks like a completely different player. There are times where you're just kind of questioning, you know, what he's really doing out there. Last week against Michigan, 34.9 pass block grade. He has a 20.2 pass block grade for the year. Already allowed three times as many pressures this season than he did last year, despite half the pass block snaps. And so you look at him going up against guys like Aiden Hutchinson. I mean, it wasn't even a fight. I mean, Aiden had his way with Tyler Beach. It was also some questionable practices too. On Wisconsin's pass protection front, there were a few times that they had Jake Ferguson on Aiden Hutchinson, the tight end for Wisconsin, and that's not going to work out against a player like Aiden, who is one of the best defensive players in college football, who I think is performing better than anyone in the country right now. And also, too, some play-action passes where, they had interior offensive linemen pulling out to block Aiden. But again, when you have the get-off that he has, that's not going to be a match for him. He's already in the quarterback's face, and next thing you know, there's pressure on him. And a couple of those plays ended up being sacks that were, that someone else on the defensive line had. But Aiden was right there, almost every single one, you know, disrupting the play. And so I think it's kind of a mix of, you know, questionable, you know, choices and decisions made to block certain players from Michigan, but also to the entire group has just been underwhelming from the start. Specifically, like I said, Tyler Beach, the left tackle.
Now, I mean, still not to take away from what Michigan did, because that's not what Michigan had done to Wisconsin and forever, especially in Camp Randall. And to mention the Jake Ferguson thing, I noticed that they tried that early, and then they started showing right before Ferguson went out, they would show that, you know, all right, he's gonna at least chip for Hutchinson, and then he'd motion to the other side. But to me, it was like, why not, you know, that needs to be a double team, right? Like, at least chip him, do something, and have someone already right there. Like, that's to be, Wisconsin got away from that and didn't really even try it, right? So that was kind of perplexing, I thought. I mentioned that during the game, just kind of watching how they were setting up wherever Aiden was, and sometimes moving the protection away from him, which seemed dubious at best. Nonetheless, I mean, Michigan's defense, we all thought that this wasn't going to be, we knew it was going to improve, but we didn't necessarily think it was going to improve this much this fast. Why, in your mind, is this defense so good outside of Aiden Hutchinson? Because obviously Aiden's been great. And like you said, maybe the best defensive player in the country. But outside of him, why is this defense playing so well?
Yeah, I mean, really, there's just been growth across the board. So, I mean, I think the biggest concern that at least I had with this Michigan team is that they definitely had Aiden there. When during the preseason, we ranked him as one of the best defensive linemen in college football. But the depth surrounding him and, you know, who was going to be in the starting unit, that was a big concern because there was really no proven players. But then you have a guy like David Ajabo this past weekend. I mean, he was just a monster. I mean, he was right there with Aiden as almost an unblockable force. And you're having guys step up along the defensive line, but then you're also getting – very good play on the back end from Brad Hawkins, too. You know, he has three passer breakups for the season, no yards allowed. You have Daxon Hill, very good covering the slot there, one of the best athletes in college football. But also the growth from the outside corners, which, you know, I was very kind of, you know, cautious of just because they were so inconsistent, you know, in the past. But we've seen them, you know, really take some strides moving forward. They're not giving up as many big plays. You know, Vincent Grace in particular, I think he's probably been the one that really stood out to me on this past weekend against Wisconsin, only 18 yards allowed in coverage. And I think all of those factors, it just kind of been the perfect marriage. You know, everything that could have gone in the right direction has gone in the right direction. And then you have two McDonald, defensive coordinator, coming over from the Ravens. I think the system that he's kind of running there has been very positive for them. I mean, we saw them get, you know, pressure on Wisconsin, not just because of, you know, like we were talking about earlier, some poor pass protection and decisions made from Wisconsin, but also because, you know, I mean, they had some very good design blitzes in there as well. When you mix that with the talent they have, I mean, that's going to wreak havoc on the offense. And so I think, like I said, it's just been a perfect, you know, everything going in the right direction that they were hoping for has gone in the right direction. And that's made this group, I would say, probably easily a top 10 group in the FBS, maybe even a top 5.
Before we move on to the offense and what you've seen from that side of the ball, with Michigan going up against Nebraska, which statistically is ranked the number 11 offense in the country in total offense, you look at all the other teams that Michigan's played, their offenses haven't been nearly as good as what they're about to face. So tell me, how much is this Michigan's defense still being just a really good sound unit? Or how much is it, in your eyes, Michigan playing not so good offenses?
Yeah, I do think they're to a certain extent. You know, it always doesn't matter the level of football. Defensive output, to some extent, is based off of the offense that they face. And you can see that, too, with some of the turnover numbers. But I think in Michigan's case, it's a little bit of that. But I do think this is a very, very talented group. And, you know, going up against offense like Nebraska, who actually has, I would probably say at this point in time, the worst offensive line in college football. You know, it's just, I think it's a really big mismatch there. And you have a quarterback with Adrian Martinez who struggled under pressure. And really, I think the big thing for them is making sure that he doesn't leak out for a scramble, because he can, you know, turn what would normally be a sack for the typical college quarterback into a, you know, 10 plus yard gain. That's very key here, but I do think that they're going to have him under pressure quite often in their next matchup. So, you know, I was a little confused when I first saw the spread. It was just a few points there. But you know, I think it's probably going to be another outing similar to what we saw this past weekend defensively.
All right. Well, we are going to continue here in a moment. We're going to talk about the Michigan offense and what you saw there. Answered some questions, but I think a lot of those questions still remain. So I would definitely want your input. But before we do that, listen, college football is, we're over the one third mark. We're obviously not a quarter through the NFL season because that's a long season, but nonetheless, football's back. It's been back. It's awesome. As always, betonline.ag is your number one spot for all the pro and college football action this season. With a new updated site and interface, even more odds, props, and contests, betonline.ag continues to be the number one source for everything football. So head over to betonline.ag, sign up today, receive your 50% welcome bonus. That's double your initial deposit just for signing up. So don't forget to use that promo code Locked On. From football, basketball, boxing, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all of the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your favorite sports. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. All right, we are here with Anthony Treisch from Pro Football Focus. Certainly, I feel bad because I want to say, like, one of my favorites, but like, I can't, you know, then I'm like, oh, but you know, then, you know, I'm demeaning, you know, Seth and Austin. And, but I'm always super excited to have you on because you know, a little bit more about the nuance when it comes to the college game, because that's what you cover, you know, so it makes that, you know, people get a little bit more meat when it comes to this, because you can talk very specifically about Michigan. With that in mind, the offense, it seemed to answer some questions in this terms of, can it pass the ball? But because we saw Michigan finally, you know, have a little bit more balance, be more aggressive, be more creative. But with that in mind, Cade McNamara's numbers went down a little bit as far as your grades were concerned. You can answer this. Maybe it's because we got a larger sample size. Obviously, wasn't as efficient as he was when he was going 9-for-11 or 8-for-11 against Western Michigan or NIU. So in your eyes, like, what did you see from him? Because that's obviously going to be a crucial component as to whether Michigan's going to be able to beat some of the bigger teams on its schedule.
Yeah, I mean, this is still a big unknown, I think, when evaluating this Michigan team. It's the entire offense, really. And, you know, looking at the run game, I was expecting them to kind of, you know, see their numbers tail off significantly, just because Wisconsin's run defense was entered week five, best in college football, only one explosive run allowed. So I was not surprised to see that kind of shut down. I thought the offense by design, you know, put them in a good situation there. You know, that flea flicker touchdown that was big there, I thought that was a very well executed play. But, you know, over the course of the duration of the entire game, we really didn't see many positively graded throws downfield from Cade McNamara. I still think there's reason to be kind of concerned with some of his, you know, inconsistencies within his mechanics. You know, that tendency, you know, to kind of throw off that back foot, not fall through on the throw. I think we still see that pop up every now and again. But I will say the big positive, you know, it wasn't even with Cade McNamara, it's with JJ McCarthy with that big deep passing touchdown. I mean, that was a beautifully thrown ball. And it kind of just goes to show, you know, the kind of the talent that they have possibly there with him. And, you know, too, I think it was very reassuring to hear Harbaugh, you know, after the game and earlier this week, talking about how they want to incorporate more snaps for McCarthy. And I think that would be a good thing for them, just because I do think from a raw talent perspective, McCarthy probably is a little bit better than Cade McNamara. So I still think this is, with McNamara leading the way, there's still some question marks and reason to be suspect of the Michigan offense, just because we really haven't seen him consistently hit downfield throws, you know, week after week at a, you know, high volume, you know, just not so much sprinkled in like it has been this season. So, you know, I'm going to be looking forward to, you know, the outings that he has where he has to take, you know, 40 dropbacks and actually push the ball downfield to win that way, not so much rely on the defense, because I do think at the end of the day, the win was because of that defense. And so, you know, it'll be exciting to see when that happens. But, you know, looking at their upcoming schedule, I just don't see, you know, a game, you know, probably until that Michigan State one, where they're probably going to need the quarterback to perform at a high level.
Especially because I look at Michigan State and the pass yards that they give up. Woof. I mean, it's as good as that defense is, and it is a good defense. I mean, they are surrendering some passes. So Michigan is going to be much better suited to pass the ball come October 30th in East Lansing than anything. So yeah, you got to get that worked out a little bit. So in your eyes, like we talked about, this was, you know, the number one run defense that Michigan was going to face all year long. There's really no contesting it. And honestly, probably the best defense, unless Penn State takes it up, a level. Ohio State certainly is looking better. Michigan doesn't have Iowa on the schedule. But with that in mind, this was certainly the best defense that Michigan has faced. So what do you think is your big takeaway from that? Because I mean, I feel like in my eyes, they passed the test. I mean, not just the 38 points, but generally able to drive the field, able to get points. Maybe it took a little longer than it should have. But nonetheless, I mean, we know at least the offense has been tested now against a good defense.
Yeah. I mean, I think the big thing there is just not putting the ball in harm's way. And, you know, some of that has to do with the play calling. I think that's why we really didn't see, you know, enough from McNamara to say that, you know, we're confident in his ability to, you know, effectively lead the team to a victory if he needs to, just because we really didn't see enough opportunities for him. And at that, you know, you kind of see some risk-taking, you know, decrease there. And, you know, not giving the defense an opportunity to make a play on the ball, you know, through the air is very much huge in that. So, you know, I still think, you know, this was kind of a game plan, it looked like, to kind of help out the quarterback, like I said, with that flea flicker, and also just kind of let the defense win the ball game. And so I think, you know, as good as Wisconsin's defense is, I don't think it really told us that much. I'm more curious to see how they're going to perform, you know, here probably in about a month. I think Indiana, as bad as, you know, they've kind of been this year and disappointing, that's still going to be a pretty good test for them, just because, you know, they're one of the blitz heaviest teams in college football. They get pressure on the quarterback, and we're going to see Cade under pressure quite a bit in that one. And then also against Penn State there right after, an even better defensive group, a lot of NFL talent on that side of the ball for him. So I think those are really the big games. And I think Michigan State, like I was saying earlier, I think that's when we're probably going to find out more, you know, about the Cade McNamara and the entire Michigan offense. Because, you know, looking at their next two opponents, like I was alluding to earlier, Nebraska and Northwestern, I would be pretty shocked if they're in a situation where they look at Cade and say, hey, you need to lead us to victory. I mean, we're down here. We need points. You need to drive the ball down the field quickly and efficiently and do it himself. So I don't think that's going to happen over the next few weeks. But, you know, at the end of October, the Halloween weekend game against Michigan State, and then after that, you know, they got a tough slew of games there. I think we're probably – that's where we're really going to find out about this Michigan offense.
Now, I want to revisit, because we have games now, and Michigan, I think, is performing a lot better than anyone anticipated, regardless, just given the fact that no one thought they would be 5-0. Certainly, I had them 4-1, and I wasn't as confident that they were not going to be 3-2, depending on what Washington was able to do. Obviously, things change. You know, Wisconsin has not looked good, but Wisconsin also had the most brutal schedule probably in college football, having to start out with Penn State, Notre Dame, and Michigan. So, you know, they've had, aside from Iowa, which, I mean, Iowa's schedule isn't necessarily as tough as it looked now that Indiana isn't as good, and Iowa State is still good, but not necessarily that college football playoff team. Maryland isn't, at least they made Maryland look really bad. What do you see this Michigan team as now? Because before, then over the summer, you know, it was, you know, they might struggle to not to make a bowl game per se, but like 7-5, 8-4 was kind of what you were looking at for this team. Have you changed any of those expectations now? And how do you kind of see these next few games playing out with that in mind?
Yeah, I mean, I think this is a 10-win team. I really do think it's a 10-win team. You know, would I be surprised if, say, you know, over the course, I do think they're going to beat Nebraska and Northwestern pretty, you know, comfortably there to go 7-0. I do think they could possibly, you know, fall into a trap over those last five games. Maybe it's an Indiana game. Maybe it's a Maryland game. You know, you look at those two offenses there. Indiana, they were very volatile with the way they win. You know, they rely on contested catches from Ty Freifogel, rely on Michael Penix making plays under pressure. Both are very unstable areas. Sometimes, you know, it works out and is a boom for them, but a lot of times it can be a bust, and we're seeing that this year. But on any given day, they can kind of get things cooking. You know, with Michigan State, I think it's going to be a tough test for them, you know, for that Michigan defense, as good as it is, just because you see, you know, Peyton Thorne's not a great quarterback by any means, but, you know, he executes those play-action downfield shots, you know, and he hits them. You know, that is a Michigan State passing offense that really relies on those big plays, and, of course, Kenneth Walker there, running back. You know, it wouldn't be surprised if they, you know, had – dropped one of those games unexpectedly, but I do think that they'll go into those last five games 7-0, and I think they're at the very least going to win three of those games. So, you know, and I think with, you know, CJ Stroud, the Ohio State quarterback, he showed a lot of growth this past weekend. You know, I'm kind of curious to see how he continues to perform moving forward, just because, you know, he had an issue in his with his mechanics that, you know, he suddenly very much cleaned up, and, you know, over those couple weeks he was out, you know, I'm curious to see if, you know, that quarterback, the quarterback coach there, and Ryan Day, they kind of helped fix, you know, that issue there. And so we'll find out over the next few weeks whether or not, you know, CJ Stroud is kind of the player we saw against Rutgers or more of the player we saw to start the year. And I think that's going to go into a lot in about if Michigan can actually beat that Ohio State team at the end of the season. But regardless, like I said, I think they're going to win 10 games.
Well, that's a heck of a reversal. Granted, like I was saying 8-4, but as the season inched closer and it was kind of, you know, I have the benefit of talking people, you know, I'm here on the ground. So I talk to people, but it's also a difficult thing because, you know, Michigan's always out there telling anyone in press conferences, like, yeah, we have confidence. And it's hard to really figure out how much of that is, you know, what they feel like they have to say and the reality of it. So, but I was buying in once the eve of the season got here, because I was with you over the summer when you were a little bit more on the negative side. You were saying 7-5, maybe 8-4. I was saying 8-4, maybe 7-5. I did not think 9-3 until about a week or so before the season. And then I kind of, I was buying what they were selling, and I'm glad that they at least are selling a product that actually exists for once instead of just hype. So anyhow, thank you, Anthony, for joining. Really always a huge pleasure. Can't wait till we have you on again soon, man.
Yeah, of course. Thank you for having me back on.
Absolutely. It's Anthony Treisch from PFF. Always super excited to have him. Really good stuff. We talked a little bit off air, and definitely some surprise for both of us. Like, right? Because, yes, I've been optimistic about Michigan this year. Because of the defense and the changes and Mike McDonald. And I told you a little bit this week about how, you know, I think that things got kind of reconfirmed to me in the sense of, the struggles under Don Brown. That did happen. I got yet another confirmation from another really high level person. And we were starting to see it all kind of come together. Offense. Yeah, you know what? After the game, I had kind of a feel like a knee jerk, like, yeah, offense is fixed. You know, hey, they can pass the ball. They can. They certainly can. And it was a good test against this defense. It needs to be consistent, right? We need to see more. Remember how I've said, first time is like a, you know, that's all right, cool. Like running the ball in week one. Now you need to see the second time to say, this is okay. They have this in their arsenal. Third time is a trend. That's what they can do. And I want to see another 300-yard running game, to be honest. I don't think it's going to come against Nebraska, but maybe it will. So certainly there's a lot to kind of work out. But anyway, let's continue talking about this game. But before we do, listen, College Football Fanatics, have you heard about Prize Picks? Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. I love this. I know you will too. Prize Picks offers every sport you can think of, like NFL, college football, NBA, college basketball, Major League Baseball, soccer, MMA, more. Prize Picks offers more college football props than anyone in the world and offers all of the star players of the Power 5 as well as the mid-major players you might not have ever even heard of. Prize Picks offers any prop you can think of, from yardage to touchdowns, even interceptions thrown. Make that deposit. Use the promo code LOCKEDON. You'll receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100. Pick 2 to 5 players over under on their projections, and you can win up to 10 times on any entry, and it's just you versus the projected numbers. PrizePicks also allows mixed sport entries. That means you can take the over on LeBron combined with the under on Mahomes in the same entry. Use the award-winning app on both the Apple App Store and Google Play. Entries could be made in 60 seconds or less. It is that easy. PrizePicks is safe and offers fast withdrawals, so don't hesitate. Check out PrizePicks or go to your app store. Download the app today. PrizePicks is daily fantasy made easy. Also, got to tell you a little something about Built Bar, because you know how much I love Built Bar. If you don't know what Built Bar is, it's a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. It is so delicious, I have two at a time whenever I have it. And the good thing is, guess what? It's good for you, right? It's low-calorie, high-protein, low-carb. Wait, I don't remember how I say that. But anyway, it's low-calorie, low-carb. So low sugar and high protein. I can have the two at a time, and it is going to be less calorically and carb-wise, but with higher protein than going out and getting a Metrix Big 100, which is used to be my go-to once upon a time when I wanted a meal replacement. And like I said, they're that delicious. Like, part of it is like, hey, I can have it as a meal replacement, but more often than not, I'm like, I'm kind of hungry. And then, and I need my protein. And then I have one, and then I'm a glutton, and I can't help it. So anyhow, don't delay. Do like I do. Go out there to Bilts.com, use promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off your next order. I've bought dozens of boxes with my own hard-earned money. So go to Bilts.com, use the promo code LOCKED15 to do like I do and get 15% off of that next order at Bilts Bar. All right, so really good stuff from Anthony Treach. Really, always happy to have him on. He was right. Weeks ago, when no one thought that Michigan was going to be able to beat Wisconsin, I remember getting, I think it was from something that I wrote on Wolverine's Wire. I think it was my first power rankings, right? I remember getting like a semi angry. I mean, he was very respectful, so I'm not saying it was like a mean letter, but I remember getting a mean email. Well, not mean email again, like an angry email, because they're like, "How could you possibly put Michigan above Wisconsin?" And they were a Michigan fan, right? They're like, "How could you possibly do that?" But you know, because did you watch Wisconsin Penn State? I think that's the problem too. Is like, the thing with college football is it lives so much in recency bias. So much so that, like, generally, when you look at the preseason rankings, it's all recency bias. And then the preseason rankings dictate a lot, right? Michigan took a couple weeks before it even got to number 25. Now it's all the way in the top 10. It's how quickly things can change, right? North Carolina was a darling, you know? Iowa State was a darling. Yet, like, Iowa wasn't as highly regarded, for instance. Penn State was a darling because sometimes they don't take in the recency bias, but they take in the perception, right? There's this perception that's existed for years that James Franklin is just so good and Penn State's just so good, and they're right there with Ohio State. And it's probably because they play Ohio State a lot closer than Michigan does. And it maybe if Michigan had a little bit less predictability, the schematics were working a little bit more in Michigan's favor against Ohio State. Because like the thing that I was told, for instance, this weekend was, and I think this was accurate, right? Like, we didn't go from being the obvious number one defense in the country to being terrible overnight, right? Like, that didn't happen. So it got figured out, particularly by Ohio State, and that's a bad team to have figured it out, unfortunately. So Michigan doesn't get that same perception, right? It's like, well, you know Michigan, they're going to fall apart at some point, and people are still kind of waiting for that. Guess what? The defense is going to keep Michigan in it. It's going to be more like 2016, right? Maybe they fall in a game that they shouldn't. Maybe they fall in a game that they should. Need the offense to be more explosive regularly. Now, that said, they've been pretty explosive, right? The offense has really only had one bad half thus far. It's been really good so far. But we've seen something similar in the 2016 team, right? So they need to figure out how to be more consistently good all the time. And I agree with Anthony. That passing game, it needs to be more consistent. So, hey, we saw it. We saw a little bit once. It needs to continue to get better. It can't be exactly as we saw it against Wisconsin if you're going to beat Michigan State, Penn State, and Ohio State. I think that I had Michigan losing to Maryland preseason because I was looking at it as a trap game. I think Maryland's is vastly improved, but Maryland's defense is bad, and we saw what happens when their offense can't do something against a good defense. And I think Michigan's defense is going to be every bit as troubling for the Terrapins as Iowa's was this last week. So I'm flipping that. I don't know necessarily what I think is going to happen down the stretch. I think if I was to make predictions right now, because I don't know how much I'm buying Penn State, but I'm still going to give them a slight edge. But, you know, based off of what we saw last week, if we see Michigan go on the road again into hostile territory in Nebraska and come away with a resounding win, I think that would be enough for me to flip Penn State. Michigan State's still iffy to me because, like I said to Anthony, the way to beat Michigan State is by throwing the ball. And yes, the way to beat Wisconsin was by throwing the ball, but I need to see it happen again. Ohio State's an auto loss for me until proven otherwise. But there's certainly a possibility that Michigan could go 11-0 into Ohio State. But there's certainly, I think, a greater possibility that they don't. So with that in mind, don't get all ready to buy your tickets to Indianapolis twice, you know? And, you know, don't sit there and say, we're going to go to Indianapolis in December and January. It's happening. No. I think that what Joel Klatt said, and I know I said this the other day, what Joel Klatt said about, at least I said this, I think, on maybe I said this on the morning drip, but I'm talking way too much these days. He said, like, take things one game at a time. I think that's the best recourse for this particular team. Whereas I feel like in 2016, like, you didn't have to, right? You just kind of knew that that was a special group. This feels special, but it's still learning to be special on a regular basis. And the fact that Rutgers' second half happened the way it did, that tells you that there's still some, you know, a lot of learning going on. The good news is this team is getting better as weeks go by. So you're seeing it develop, and you're hoping that it develops well. So talked about, if it ever posts, as we're having some issues with some video stuff on my end as far as getting things up. My computer is shutting down when I'm exporting things, which is why the podcast was so late yesterday. On the morning drip, which was recorded earlier than usual this morning and is certainly going to be up later than even probably most, assuming everything, I talked about the fact that this is a gauntlet. Again, it's like it's a different version of the gauntlet than 2018, but it's a gauntlet except for you have some breathing room in between. Still some tests, but you know, you've got Nebraska. Congratulations. You got a bye week, Northwestern, and then you get Michigan State. All right, you got through Michigan State. Congratulations. You got Indiana, which is a little bit of a deep breath, and then you've got Penn State. All right, you got through Penn State. Well, you've got Maryland, and then you got Ohio State. We'll see how they fare. Because certainly it's a different gauntlet because you got traps in between. So, all right, that's going to do it for us today. We will talk to you tomorrow, mailbag day. So look forward to that. I'll put the question out on Twitter shortly, probably by the time you see this, hopefully, or hear this. Thank you for watching and or listening. We'll be back on Thursday with the mailbag. I can't believe we're almost, I'm almost about to get on a flight to Lincoln. All right, we'll talk to you soon. Peace.